Hello, everyone. Today, Cam and I are going to be speaking about Jesus Club and what's been going on there, and we'll give you a wee taste of what happens. So to start off, to get you in the mood, we've got Lolly Scramble. We do this at the end of every Jesus Club. We give people... Sorry, I'll just get this open. We give people lollies. I'll get Cam to come help me hand these out. So watch out for your heads and everything as we throw them. Yes. All right, grab a handful.
I'm sorry in advance if we accidentally hit you.
Yeah, there we go. One more. There you go. So normally we get rid of all our four bags. People tend to like the lollies. Anyway, so the first Jesus Club we did, I gave the message. We started off with Cam just introducing what it was. But I'll show you the video that we showed everyone. It's called The Clam Cosmological Argument. Andy's going to bring it up in a second. And I just thought it was really good for everyone there who didn't believe in God or thought it was... unreasonable to believe in him. We showed this video, and I think that was a good eye-opener for some, so we'll play that.
Does God exist? Or is the material universe all that is, or ever was, or ever will be? One approach to answering this question is the cosmological argument. It goes like this. Whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore, the universe has a cause. Is the first premise true? Let's consider. Believing that something can pop into existence without a cause is more of a stretch than believing in magic. At least with magic, you've got a hat and a magician. And if something can come into being from nothing, then why don't we see this happening all the time? No, everyday experience and scientific evidence confirm our first premise. If something begins to exist, it must have a cause. But what about our second premise? Did the universe begin? Or has it always existed? Atheists have typically said that the universe has been here forever. The universe is just there, and that's all. First, let's consider the second law of thermodynamics. It tells us the universe is slowly running out of usable energy, and that's the point. If the universe had been here forever, it would have run out of usable energy by now. The second law points us to a universe that has a definite beginning. This is further confirmed by a series of remarkable scientific discoveries. In 1915, Albert Einstein presented his general theory of relativity. This allowed us, for the first time, to talk meaningfully about the past history of the universe. Next, Alexander Friedman and Georges Lemaître, each working with Einstein's equations, predicted that the universe is expanding. Then in 1929, Edwin Hubble measured the red shift in light from distant galaxies. This empirical evidence confirmed not only that the universe is expanding, but that it sprang into being from a single point in the finite past. It was a monumental discovery, almost beyond comprehension. However, not everyone is fond of a finite universe, so it wasn't long before alternative models popped into existence. But one by one, these models failed to stand the test of time. More recently, three leading cosmologists, Arvind Bord, Alan Guth, and Alexander Vilenkin, prove that any universe which has on average been expanding throughout its history cannot be eternal in the past, but must have an absolute beginning. This even applies to the multiverse, if there is such a thing. This means that scientists can no longer hide behind a past eternal universe. There is no escape. They have to face the problem of a cosmic beginning. Any adequate model must have a beginning, just like the standard model. It's quite plausible then that both premises of the argument are true. This means that the conclusion is also true. The universe has a cause. And since the universe can't cause itself, its cause must be beyond the space-time universe. It must be spaceless, timeless, immaterial, uncaused, and unimaginably powerful. Much like God. The cosmological argument shows that, in fact, it is quite reasonable to believe that God does exist.
Thanks, Andy. So that was the video we showed in the first Jesus Club, and it was really good for the non-Christians and the people, especially the deep thinkers out there who were thinking a lot about how the universe was created. And so that was good. And then I went on to explain about why we are Christians, and you know, what's the whole point of it all, and why, what's the point of believing in a God and stuff. And so. And the answer to that was simply, the Roman roads. I'm sure some of you have heard of it, but if we'll get Andy to put up Romans 3:23, and it's, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And basically, this is saying that everyone, no matter what, well, except Jesus, has sinned and has broke God's law. If we get the second one, Romans 6:23, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life and Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so basically the punishment for sin is hell. And and if you don't accept the gift of God and Romans 10:9, if you don't confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So that's what I told everyone at Jesus Club. Then I went on to do the to tell everyone the sinner's prayer if they wanted to make a have a relationship with God, and they all repeated after me. We had probably about 40-50 people saying it actually, whether they meant it or not, only they know. But it was a really good start to our Jesus Club. Then we handed out the lollies and then invited them to the next one the next week, and then Cam gave his one.
Yes, as you probably remember from Nick's Jesus Club, we had, was it three, Nick? Three people who became Christians. Yeah, so we had three people become Christians that day. One of them still hangs with Nick and me sometimes when we play cards at lunch. But yeah, that's a really good turnout from that, to have around 70 people come and have some people like actually get the message and become Christians, yeah. So then the next week, we didn't have Jesus Club because of House Olympics, which you all remember. And then I talked about who is God, and Nick talked about why God, and I talked about who. So I got up a video from Billy Graham, and he's just getting it up. And yeah, I was just Saturday. It was a Saturday morning before Thursday, and I'm like, okay, I need to write up something. I need to think of something. So I was just going on YouTube, and I typed in I prayed first. And I prayed that I'll be able to find something really good. And I typed into YouTube, who is God? And it came up with this video. And yeah, so.
Do you ever stop and think about God? Many people are thinking about God today because we've seen that science does not have an answer to all of our problems. We are seeing that technology cannot solve all of our problems. And so thousands of young people in Europe and in America are beginning to talk about God. Some of them are going to India to see if they can find peace in their hearts. Some of them are going and studying yoga. And they're going into all sorts of different sects and groups searching for God. Some of them are going out into the desert and sitting under the stars and watching the stars. Have you ever wondered about God? Someone asked me at a university one day, can you prove God exists? And I answered, no. I cannot put God in a test tube. I cannot put God in a laboratory and say, here's God. How do I know that God exists? All the evidence seems to indicate that he does. I look up in the starry sky and I say, there must be a God. I look at the beautiful nature round about me and I say, there must be a God. I see the birth of a baby. Gary Player was telling us yesterday how he saw the birth of his last child. And he said, as I watched that, I knew that there had to be a God. But there's another reason. Deep in your heart, you have a conscience. And your conscience tells you there must be a God. Something down inside tells me there must be a God. And the Bible tells us that this God is the creator of all the universe. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now in that passage in Genesis 1, there is no explanation. There's no attempt to prove God. It just says, in the beginning, God. Because everybody believes in God. Oh, but you say, I've met some atheists. You met some atheists that hadn't had any real trouble yet. But you find a person who claims he's an atheist and let someone announce to him that he has terminal cancer and you'll say, my God, help me. Or he get into a battle or get into a difficult spot, he'll say, my God, help me. Yes, all men know that there must be a God. He is the creator. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Now the Bible tells us God is a spirit. God doesn't have a body like yours. If God had a body like yours, he would have to be in one place at one time. But God doesn't have a body like yours. And God can be in Africa. He can be in Asia. He can be in Europe. He can be in America all at the same time. He can be on a planet. He can be on the moon at the same time. I've talked to some of those astronauts that went to the moon. And they told me that they knew as they went around the moon, there must be a God. I talked to some of the prisoners of war from Vietnam just a few days before I came on this trip. I talked to those first prisoners that came back to the United States and they told us in those prison cells for 8 years in Vietnam, they knew there was a God. The Bible tells us that God is unchanging. He never changes. Fashions change. Every part of our culture and life changes. And vast changes are underway throughout the world. Fashions change, culture changes, technology changes, but God never changes. The Bible says, I am the Lord God, I change not. The Bible says, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning with God. God has not changed in thousands of years. 10,000 times 10,000 years from now, God will be the same. God is from everlasting to everlasting. God does not change. The Bible also tells us that God is a holy God. Absolutely holy. The Bible says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Thou canst not look on iniquity. God is holy and righteous. And you'll never understand God. You'll never understand about God and God's dealing with us until you understand that God is absolutely pure and God is absolutely holy and God cannot even look upon sin with any approval whatsoever. And then the Bible tells us that God is a God of judgment. In Ecclesiastes 12:14, the Bible says, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's a judgment day coming. You're going to be there if you're outside of Christ. And every secret thing will be brought to light. Everything that you hid, everything that you did that you didn't think anybody knew about, all of your thoughts, all of your motives, all of your intents, all of your actions are on God's computers. And God is keeping a record. And someday, you're going to have to stand before a holy God and give an account at the great judgment day. Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. The Apostle Paul said in his great sermon at Athens, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man Christ Jesus. There's a day of judgment coming. He has appointed a day. It's all set. You're going to be there. And every secret thing that you've ever thought or done will be flashed on the scoreboards up in heaven at the judgment. And the whole world will see what you really were down inside. God is a God of judgment. But the Bible also teaches that God is a God of love. That God loves. I'm glad that's in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That God is a God of love and mercy and grace. And that God loves everybody. I don't care who you are. He has the hairs of your head numbered. He sees the sparrow fall. He's interested in you. And he loves you. Now, there are several Greek words that are translated love. Eros means sensual love, sexual love. Phileo means friendship love, the love that I would have for a friend. But when the writers of the New Testament were trying to find a word that would describe the love of God, they invented a new word, agape, the divine love, a love that we cannot know outside of God. There is no love that you can think of in human relationships comparable to the love that God has for you and that God has for me. God loves you. You say, but Billy, I don't deserve such love. I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law. I've failed him 1,000 times. I know. That's the beauty and the greatness and the thrill of God's love. That no matter what you've done, he loves you. For God so loved the world. God loves you. And God loved us so much that he gave his son.
So I chose that video because it was a really good overview about basically who is God and what's he about. And after I played it and we were all in BTN, I was thinking in my head, I don't know if I should have put the part in there about God being God of judgment. And I was talking to my friend Will about that, and then he said to me that actually that was for him the best part about the video. That was the main, because he's not Christian. And he said that was the best part, and it really made him think about, wow, this is a really real thing, and this is something that could happen. So then, after I showed the video clip, I brought up on the projector Genesis 1:1, and it was just everybody knows what it is. And I brought it up there because Billy Graham says that in the Bible they wrote down, and they didn't put anything justifying it. They just put God created the universe. And that's that. And I wanted to put up there because basically to show the kids that we're not trying to prove God's existence. We're just trying to get them to understand God's love. And then I talked about how God made the earth perfect, and how it's perfect difference from the sun, and it's beautiful and everything. And then I explained to him why that was, because of Adam and Eve, and he wanted Adam and Eve to have a beautiful place to live in and raise humanity. And then I explained, I thought a lot of them would ask, so Cam, why isn't it perfect? Why do we have all this hatred and stuff? So so I'm going to do the demonstration I did on why that is. So thanks, Nick. Upside down. So we have this house. And so this house was built by a father. And this father built this house for his son. And so the father said to his son, here you go, here's this house. I built this house for you, this amazing house. Please live in it and cherish it. So the son went to the house and lived in it, and his dad gave him the keys, and his dad left. Oh, yeah, thanks. And can anybody guess what the son then did? That's exactly what he did. He had a massive party with all his friends. Got a bit rowdy, and there was, so I had Dom come up and draw. I asked him to draw what his reputation, what his party was, and he just basically said fireworks. So there was heaps of fireworks, and the house basically turned to trash. And so the father came back, and he was sad. He was sad, and he was disappointed in his son for what his son had done. And so what he said to his son was, "You can't live anymore. You've lost my trust." So the son had to leave, and the father took the keys back. And think, can anybody guess what the father then did with the house? Yeah, that's what he did. He cleaned it, got rid of all the fireworks, and got rid of the fireworks and cleaned it up, made it all nice again. And he saved it for an amazing family with its own father and mother and two kids. And he gave them the keys to the house. There's the keys. And he said, "Here you go. This is your house now." And so basically, what this represents is the house is earth. The father who gave the keys to the son is God, and the son is Eve and Adam. And what God did is he said to Adam and Eve, here's this amazing world to live in, and in the Garden of Eden, but God said, don't eat from this tree. And what did Adam and Eve do? They went and ate from that tree, and that was sin. And so by doing that, they destroyed the house or world and basically created sin. And then God came back, and he didn't like that. He was really unhappy with Adam and Eve, and he said, "You're not allowed in the Garden of Eden anymore." And what he didn't do, he didn't leave the earth in trash and stuff. He saved it for us, a good family, and he did this all because he loved us so much. And so after I did this demonstration, I put back up on the projector the last about 3 minutes of that video. As you remember, it talks about God's love, and I ended my talk on basically saying, God loves you guys so much. He loves every one of you. And I really wanted to make that message really clear for all of them about God's love for them. And straight after my talk, I went up to a girl, her name's Riley, and she was talking to all the other girls about how she could already feel God's love around her like a blanket. And it was really cool for me to be able to have that blessing of sharing God's word. So yeah, so that's what happened at the Second Jesus Club. And last verse, as I talked about in testimony time, Mr. Buckendale came and shared his testimony about how he came to faith. And I'll give a brief overview of what he said. When he was young, he struggled with, he had a lot of acne on his face, on his back. And he didn't tell anybody about this for a good couple of years. And he was really ashamed of it, and he didn't want to show anybody. And he had real bad thoughts. He said he had suicide thoughts at times. And he was really struggling with it, because not even his parents knew. And then one day, his friends invited him to church, and he went to church with them, and he was sitting there in the congregation, and they all had their eyes closed, and they were asking if anybody wanted to step into God's light and become a Christian, and or like redo their faith. Well, I can't remember exactly what he said. And everybody had their eyes closed, and a couple of people had their hands up. And the pastor or the priest that was there, they were waiting for about 5 minutes, and he said that he could feel someone in the congregation that still needed to put their hands up. And he said, "It's okay, bud, we can wait for you, because I know there's someone out there." And Mr. B knew it was him, but he was too scared to put his hand up. And then he told us that just out of nowhere, he couldn't even remember how it happened, but his hand just shot up. And and then he became a Christian, and he really enjoyed it. And then I think it was a couple months later, after he'd been going to church for a week, he was still struggling with his acne. And then he was going through his old iPod, and he was looking through lyrics. And then he came across this song that he hadn't seen before by his favorite band. This was his favorite album, and so he didn't know how the song had got there. And so what he did is he prayed that, because he wanted to read the lyrics, and he prayed that in the lyrics something would just happen, that the lyrics would mean something. And the first Can you remember what the first line was? Yeah, so the first line was something along the lines of, as your skin breaks. And basically, this is he knew this was referring to him and his acne, and that he was scared to show his body how bad it was. And that really made him think, wow, God is amazing. And so this band eventually, Mr. B, went and saw them, and he got the chance to actually talk to them and tell them his testimony about what happened. And it was, and then they interviewed him and asked him some funny questions. And then it turned out that the tour CD, he was on the end of it, and they sent a message to him saying, Ben, we want to thank you for your support for the band and all this. And yeah, Mr. B was real stoked, and that story was really, really cool for all us to hear about how good God is, and it was really good for everybody else at CJC to hear about how amazing God is. So praise the Lord. So yeah,
we just got a few videos from last Thursday. If Andy wants to show them, Cam, do you want to put the whiteboard away, please? And so this is just everyone who came. So we had about 40, oh no, more like 50, 60 people who were there at Jesus Club. But yes, please continue to pray for Jesus Club. Pray that Mr. Wilson will give his testimony and that our numbers will continue to grow, and that we'll have lots of people come to faith. And yeah, thanks everyone.
So I think to close, what we're going to do, I remember I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had everybody praying at the same time, praying together. So I think that's what we're going to do now. So if everybody can please close your eyes, and you can pray out loud or pray in your head. But yeah, dear Lord Jesus, I pray that as we have another Jesus Club this week, that will be amazing, and that Mr. Wilson will see our email, and he'll want to come and talk and share his message about how he came to faith. Lord, I pray that it will go well, and that everybody who comes will be able to see your light, Lord.
We thank you, Father, for Cam and Nick and Jono, and we just pray, Lord, that it will really bring forth good fruit, that they won't only just hear about it on Thursdays, but they will seek a fellowship where they can make Christian friends. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pray even for gifts of your Spirit, Father, that people would hear your word and it would touch them, and they would know that you love them, Father. So please guide them and continue to lead them, I pray, in Jesus' name.
And we do thank you, Lord God, that they are able to speak about the Lord Jesus in an open way. And we thank you, Lord, that there are Christians in places of authority at Cashmere High, and we thank you for them. And we do come against any contrary or evil spirit, Lord God, and bind them in the name of Jesus that would seek to prevent the spreading of the word, and that others may come to know you as their Lord and Saviour, Lord Jesus. We do pray for these young people, and we thank you for each one and for their heartfelt yearning to for you and to share you with their fellow students, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that unless you build the house, we build in vain. I thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, you have the strategy, you have the equipping, and I pray, Lord, that you will involve us in prayer and them in doing. And I pray, Lord, that they will be ministers of your grace. I pray that the Holy Spirit shall be over them and over those meetings,
And I pray, Lord, that there will be a testimony and a witness to all that come, Lord, that there is your love and your presence. I pray, Lord, that you will give creativity where creativity is needed. But I pray most of all, just as Billy Graham speaks with power and authority, so will these young men and women, Lord, speak this way. Lord, you are the equipper. You are the enabler. You are the one, Lord, that we can rejoice in as we see your work go forward and accomplish.
Heavenly Father, you have promised that your word shall not return unto you void. And we thank and praise you with all our heart and soul for the good things that we see. We pray for the open heaven. We pray for the Holy Spirit just to pour upon this young people, a pour upon Kashmir, a birth a new work in the city, Lord, through the school. We pray for exponential beyond what we can even imagine, hope, or think, Lord, that you can do these things for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we thank you for what is becoming, fast becoming, from Kashmir Jesus Club to Kashmir Jesus Church. We are seeing all elements of a church meeting on Thursdays. Testimony is given, prayer is given, the word is preached, proclaimed. The invitation to receive you, Jesus, is given. And songs are sung in your praise and honour and glory. Father, then we have seen and understand that more a meeting at Kashmir Jesus Club often than a meeting here on Sunday. So, Lord, you are doing great work. We particularly pray, as the guys have said, and I heard them praying last night as the email went to Mark Wilson, Father, that he would understand in the closing months of his tenure as principal there, as one of the only Christian principals of a secular state school, that he will be able to speak up for you. So, Father, we pray there would be no hiding behind any particular thoughts that I'm not thinking that, of course, that he will, but guard his heart and guard his thoughts, Lord, that he would be able to give praise and glory for who you are to him. And we've seen some very well-attended CJCs, but, Father, we particularly pray for all who would come and hear that this principal who leads the school is in turn led by you. And, Father, we pray for all of the leaders of CJC as they are in turn led by you, lead them into the place where the yearning in the hearts for God that we see in those videos that all have in their heart would come to find you and find you through Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys.